Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. This being the opening class session of this week on this Monday morning, we're going to begin with our special feature, and that is we're going to read from the Rock Cliff Review, which is the name of the church bulletin from the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. That is the church, the congregation that brings you this program. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. And when you come on a Sunday morning, you'll receive a copy of the Rock Cliff Review. And, of course, like most church bulletins, we have little local announcements and things particularly pertaining to this church family and this congregation that meets in this meeting house. And also there you will see something that I have written in regards to the sermon I'm going to preach that morning. Sometimes it's supplementary material, and oftentimes it is sort of a review of what you're going to hear when it is time for the preaching. And so on this particular Sunday, I had preached a sermon called Peace with God, and I wrote about that in that bulletin. Let me read that to you at this time. The world longs for peace. Collectively, peace among men, and individually, peace within. The prerequisite for all real peace is peace with God. There is no peace if the Lord unto the wicked. In Isaiah 48:22, and Isaiah 57:21. However, Paul wrote, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. In the book of Romans, Paul justifies God for saving man. Paul introduces his defense of God in Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Christ. But we did not need to know the gospel to know that God was righteous. That is revealed to us repeatedly in the Old Testament. It is because God is righteous that sin has consequences. It is the righteousness of God that drove Adam and Eve from the garden in Genesis 3:22-24. It is because of God's righteousness that he destroyed the world with a flood in Genesis 6:5-7. It is righteousness that brought fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18:20-22. It is because of the righteousness of God that Isaiah said in Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins has hid his face from you. And thinking of the righteousness of God, Bildad the Shuhite said in Job 25:3-5, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm? Therefore, knowing that God is righteous, and knowing that all have sinned, and knowing that sin has consequences, and knowing that God is justified for imposing those consequences, how then can God be righteous and justify sinful man? The angels themselves did not know. They desired to look into those things, 1 Peter 1:12. Paul says, in context, that the righteousness of God in justifying man is revealed in the gospel of Christ. After showing that all have sinned, and that therefore all are under condemnation, Paul writes of something made manifest in the gospel of Christ that was not manifest under the law. We read in Romans 3:20-26. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. The text says, now the righteousness of God is manifested. That means God's righteousness is revealed. Jesus Christ is the propitiation. In shedding his blood, he satisfied the righteous requirement for the consequences of sin. That is what justifies God's forbearance. And this is what declares his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Paul writes, to declare, I say, at this time. The time of Romans 3:26 is the now of Romans 3:21, and to declare it is to reveal it. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. How our righteous God can be justified in justifying unrighteous man is not revealed in the Old Testament, but it is now revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the propitiation that empowers God to save man. That is why the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The gospel of the propitiation of Christ Jesus empowers God to save everyone that believeth. And that brings us back to our text. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. There is no peace without justification, and there is no justification without Jesus. Well now, if you come to Rock Cliff and you were there that day, when it was time for the time that we would give attention to God's Word and worship Him through the reverence and respect we show God's Word, that would be the sum of the message that you would have heard from that pulpit. I hope you'll come by and visit us. Come to one of our Bible classes or come see how it is that we worship, and you will see why we call ourselves a Church of Christ. We're trying to do all things according to the teachings of Christ as they're revealed to us in the New Testament. But at this time, I want us to return to our regular study. We're looking at a Sunday school lesson E.A. Elam wrote about Samuel for the Sunday schools of March the 2nd, 1929. And we have come to 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 6, where we read, they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before Jehovah and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against Jehovah. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. In their deep penitence and intense desire to learn God's will, they would not eat. They did not burden themselves with food that their minds might be clear to act. Their fasting was an expression of their sorrow for sin. They had something before them vastly more important than eating. We have sinned against Jehovah, the people said. When people truly repent, They are not afraid or ashamed to confess their sins. They are ashamed of their sins, but not ashamed to confess them. The people whom John the Baptist baptized confessed their sins. The prodigal son confessed his sins. And we are exhorted to confess our sins one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed in James chapter 5 and verse 16. This gathering together at Mizpah, this pouring out of water, this fasting and this confessing of their sins showed that they had repented. And Samuel judged Israel and the children of Israel in Mizpah. He heard their troubles, righted their wrongs, and taught them how to turn to God that they might be delivered from their enemies. And it had an effect upon the Philistines that this assembly did. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto Jehovah our God for us, that he will save us out of the hands of the Philistines." There were five lords of the Philistines, according to 1 Samuel 6, 17 and 18. They took this assembly at Mizpah as a sign of revolt against them and of war. And they went up against Israel intending to nip this rebellion in the bud. It had been said truly that activity on the part of God's people arouses opposition. The Israelites were afraid, but they did not run. 40 years of opposition and sin had weakened their courage and faith, yet they had enough to stand their ground and to ask Samuel to pray for him. They believed God would hear Samuel. When one's weakness causes him to depend upon God, then in his weakness he is strong. Well, we read about the prayer, the battle, and the rock they called Ebenezer. We read in 1 Samuel 7 and verse 9, Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a whole burnt offering unto Jehovah. And Samuel cried unto Jehovah for Israel, and Jehovah answered him. Samuel, in 1 Samuel 1:1, is said to have descended from an Ephrathite. And from 1 Chronicles 6:22 through 28, he is put down as a descendant of Levi in the family of Kohath. It seems that this is right, since he served in the tabernacle and as a priest. The suckling lamb must remain 7 days with its mother before it could be offered as an offering. We read in Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 27, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam. And from the 8th day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The whole of a burnt offering must be burnt upon the altar, as according to the instructions given in Leviticus chapter 1. Samuel prayed, and God answered, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that called his name. They called upon Jehovah, and he answered them. Psalm 99 and verse 6. And so we read in 1 Samuel 7 and verse 10, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But Jehovah thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomforted them, and they were smitten before Israel. The Philistines attacked Israel just when they were engaged in worship, and this was an attack upon Jehovah. And he resented it, for he thundered with a great thunder that day against the Philistines and discomforted them, and they were smitten down before Israel. And by this the Israelites could plainly see that their deliverance was from God. We're going to end the class at this time. Mark there in your Bibles and you are dismissed.